This morning, we're talking about the church. And, you know, when we talk about church, many times we use lots of different meanings when we talk about it. So we'll say something like, hey, what time is church tomorrow? By which we imagine the church to be a program or an event that happens. You know, people oftentimes will find out after knowing me a little while that I'm a pastor, and they'll say to me, hey, where is your church? That's the first thing people say to me. And I'll say, oh, it's on Spring Hill Avenue. And by that, we're imagining the church to be a building, a location. We'll often say, well, church was really good today. It's kind of like we went out to dinner and we had a really great meal. You know, the meal was really great. Church was really great. Music was on point. The pastor finally made sense. You know, any of those other things. We sort of imagine the church to be something that we come and we just kind of judge. Was it good? Was it bad? Did we feast on it? Did we not? It was something we could consume. And I think that's a pretty prevalent model these days for the church. I think for most of us, the church is a little bit like Walmart. You know, in modern times, it's become, the vision is, it's a vendor of religious goods and services for which we show up and we consume the product. That's the mentality most of us have. That's why people come to church and they ask the question, what does this church have for me? By which they mean, you know, do they have Christian gymnastics for my kids? And at the same time, are they running like this really amazing and interesting and helpful and dynamic marriage class for me and my wife? Is it the perfect product that we can consume? And it makes sense why people do this, because, of course, everything in our culture is commodified. Everything in our day, in a consumer culture, is something for us to take, to buy, to use, to eat, to consume. We're in a consumer culture, and we commodify even things that should never be considered as such. We do it with friendship. You know, we have golf buddies, running partners, people that we want to drink wine with and talk about our problems. And when we're done with those activities and we've had enough and we've gotten our fill of them, we say, okay, we're done, not to talk about them until we want to do it again. We commodify relationship, commodify marriage these days. Marriage is there to make me happy. When I'm done consuming happiness from you, I trade you in for a better model. We commodify government. You know, when's the last time you had a sense of like that the purpose of government is that the people would come together and be together for the greater good of everybody else? It doesn't happen. It's, you know, you think about JFK's statement, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I mean, the ship has sailed on the last part of that statement. It's all about what you could do for me. We commodify it. We commodify the church. It's a product to take or leave according to my preferences and my styles and the things that I want out of it. And you know, one of the things I think we're going to see in the next couple years is the way that the technology over this pandemic has just accelerated that. Because you don't really have to show up anymore. I mean, you kind of didn't before, but you really don't now. You can get on that treadmill, you can turn the podcast to 1.5 speed, and you don't even have to listen to the slow, annoying cadences of the preacher. You can get what you need and move on. It's perfect. Church has become something that we come to, vendor of religious goods and services, to satisfy a very shallow spiritual hunger. And unfortunately, people like me have been all too happy to meet the market needs. The problem with all of this is that the consumer mentality of the church is not the biblical vision of what the people of God are. Paul gives us a vision here in verse 4 and 5. He says, he calls us the body of Christ. He says, for as in one body we have many members, The members do not all have the same functions. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. I think when the scriptures imagine the church, they do not imagine it as a vendor of religious goods and services. The scriptures do not envision the church as an event, a building, a program, a staff, a budget, an institution. When the New Testament envisions the people of God, it is as a body of Christ. And let me give you, I think, a fuller definition of this to explain it a little more. We're going to work off this for a few minutes. I think what Paul is proposing is the following, that the church is the community of believers in Jesus Christ who are united by the Spirit into one body, which is visibly expressed in the local congregation and is purposed for the mutual upbuilding in and the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus. That is an incredibly long sentence. I want to look at it. We're going to break it down. Church is a community of believers in Jesus Christ. Okay, what constitutes the body of believers, what we call the church, is faith in Jesus Christ. That is, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you are called into his body. We are not constituted by our mutual consumption of religious goods and services. We are not constituted by the fact that we like a white sanctuary instead of a dark sanctuary. We are constituted by faith in Christ. And when we come to Christ, what happens is we are joined to Jesus. We have union with Christ. And in having union with Christ, we become part of this spiritual reality called the body of Jesus Christ. This means we are not constituted as members of the body of Christ because of our membership at Covenant Church. Let me say that again. The church is not constituted by church membership. That sounds crazy. That sounds weird, doesn't it? But what's being said here is we are constituted by faith in Jesus Christ. You don't become a part of the church by joining through our membership program. You become a member of the spiritual reality of Christ's body by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And I'll talk about what church membership means in a minute. But the spiritual reality of that occurs by faith in Jesus Christ. This is why when you become a member here, we ask you to give a testimony of your faith. You know, and what we found over the years is people will just say yes to any question you ask them during membership, and they don't know what it means, and it has no sense. So what we look for is some evidence of faith in Jesus Christ, because what we don't want to do is we don't want to trick you into thinking that you're a member of the body of Christ simply because you have gone through a membership process. We want you to know that your membership here is a reflection of a spiritual reality that has happened by being joined to Jesus Christ. The church is constituted first and foremost in the gospel by faith in Jesus. Secondly, this collection of believers is united into one body by the Spirit. Paul says we're one body with many members. So here's the flip side to our union with Christ. When we come into union with Christ, we come a part of his body, and then we are joined spiritually to all the other people who have also put their faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to know the bigness of this truth. You are joined to the people sitting next to you by something far greater and far deeper than your name on a roll. Your church membership is not like a political party that you affiliate with. It's not like a social club that you join. There is a deep and great spiritual bond that you share with other believers in the body that is unlike anything else, anywhere else. I would dare say that your bond with brothers and sisters in the body of Christ is deeper than the bond of a secular marriage. Secular marriage does not hold a union in the Holy Spirit, as does your membership as part of the body of Christ. You are bound in the Spirit together, and that makes us different. Sometimes we forget this. Sometimes we've been in it so long. It seems normal. You know, we were... A friend of ours was having a baby, and they were a part of this organization that we were a part of, and so they were having this baby, and they were a really important part of this organization. A lot of people in it, they had served them really, really well, and you know, during the as they were coming close to having the baby, you know, Arden looks at me and she says, "Oh, we need to bring them a meal." Oh yeah, right? This is, you know, people have babies. This is what you do. You bring them a meal, and it's like, okay. So she starts asking around. She's like, you know, who's in charge of the little website thingy? Bring them your meal for whatever that thing is. I don't know. Arden does it most of the time, let's be honest. But you know, who's in charge of that? How do I go sign up? And she looks around, and no one's done it, which is kind of sad. You know, here's a person who's loved a lot of people very well, and no one cares to set that up for them. And we kind of thought, well, that's strange, you know, because even the church is like, at this church, you're fighting people to set those things up. You know, it's like, I'm going to do it. You know, I want to do it for them. You know, and so we thought, okay, that's kind of strange. So we set the website up. She does it and, you know, puts, I don't know, about 60 slots over a couple of months for take your meal kind of thing. And she sends it out to the group and she texts people personally. And, you know, we thought, okay, that's great. This is going to be good. Good deed. Glad we did that. We're going to help them out a little bit. Maybe everyone just forgot. We got on the website 4 or 5 days later and a total of 3 people had signed up, one of which was us. And it was just, I mean, it was just kind of sad. It was sad because, I mean, this person had given their life to all of these other people. And they couldn't even reciprocate in a tiny way. And it made me realize, like, I sort of thought that's what everybody did when you had a baby. Like, because that's what my experience was in being a part of the body of Christ. I thought that's what was normal, and it kind of made me come to realize, like, it showed me that the bond in Christ, it's not something to be taken for granted. Our union in Jesus, in the Spirit, is not a small thing. Because let me give you a different picture. So Meg and James aren't here this morning. Fowler, they're on the precipice of having a baby, and they're in my small group. And let me tell you, my small group is in an all-out war for aunt and uncle status on that baby. We're like, that's my baby. I'm holding that baby. I want that baby. Because there's, like, and it's funny. You and me were talking about that. We were like, it's like, we're going to babysit that baby. We want that. Because there's a sense in which, I mean, even some of us not knowing them very long, they're family. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. Their children are a part of me as well. That's not something that people out there think about. This strange thing of being joined to one another as the church is an awesome and unusual reality. You know, I mentioned to some people a couple of weeks ago, and you got to know this about me. Like, I don't like sharing things. I say it up here. I seem like I do. But, like, when it's super personal, I'm not. It's weird. It feels weird to me. And I was like, okay, I need to do this. You know, my brother had a lump in his throat, and they were looking at cancer. And so I think I said it to Lanier. and all of a sudden, like, people know, right? And I'm like, okay, I'm a little uncomfortable with this. I don't know if that's okay, but I'll go with it. You know, it seems like something that goes on. And like over the weeks of waiting to hear back if it was cancer or not, man, it's like Joe Hastings and Jimmy Scarborough are texting me and asking me, hey, what's going on with your brother? And Harold White's walking up to me at Bible study the other day, puts his arm in me, sits there. He says, tell me how your brother is. And I'm thinking, what is the matter with all of you? Like my first thought is really like, why are you asking me this? Because I'm so cynical and so used to the way other things are. It doesn't occur to me that somebody would care enough about me. And actually, my brother, who they don't really even know. It doesn't make sense why they would do something. Like, there's got to be an alternative motive for Joe texting. I mean, of course there's not an alternative motive. He has a really good reason for doing that. Jesus. Right, he loves me, he loves mine, because we're in Christ together. And I'd hope the same might be true in the other direction. That is a big, weird, and unusual thing that comes, but it comes because of Jesus, of being united into his body in this spiritual reality that should not be taken for granted. Paul says we're one body, but we're many members. And he goes through the spiritual gifts in this passage. I preached on those about a year ago, so I'm going to shy away from those for this one. But I think the point that Paul is raising here is, as Christians, we're not a group that erases individualism. We don't think that everyone should be exactly the same. The opposite is true. God has gifted each of you very differently, and he's assembled us together as the body of Christ. This is, you know, Paul describes the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12 in a lot more detail. And what he says is, you know, each of us is a part of the body. There's fingernails, there's eyeballs, there's eyebrows, there's eyelashes, there's bald spots. You know, and what happens is we are together something that we are not individually. And see, this is where I think the shift has to begin to take place. It is not as though, you know, Paul says one part of the body is more important than the other. I do a visible thing here. We get it. But the mouth is no more important than the fingernail. And this is the shift that we have to begin to take. You know, this is, we have to begin to think differently about the body of Christ. You are not a consumer. You are a member of Christ's body with a specific calling within that body, which means you need to begin to think about church not as something you come to consume, but as something you come to contribute to. You must not think you're a part of church for simply what you can get out of it. That's a part of it for sure. But there's this other side as to what we can give into it. I want to encourage the way you think about, to change possibly the way you think about your worship or your small group. I want you to consider that you would show up not simply for yourself, but for someone else. You know, when Spivey's not at my small group, I miss something. When you know, Harold and Dorothy were gone for a year from us, I miss something. I miss the fact that Harold knows that my brother is waiting on a cancer result. By the way, he doesn't have cancer. I need to say that. Sorry. Praise the Lord. We heard that the other day. He knows that because he's in the game with me, because he shows up and it's like, he's not just here for himself. He's here for me. This is the chance to know and listen and pray and care about other people in the body of Christ. Come to be a part of something. Come for someone else. Figure out what your role is. Figure out what your gift is. And look, when you don't worry about it. I'm still trying to figure out what my spiritual gift is. In the meantime, just be a Christian. Be kind. Be patient. Be wise. Be faithful. Be a prayer. Just practice Christness with one another. We're individuals. We're joined together with one another. Fourth, it says we're one body. But here's the take on this. We are visibly expressed in the local congregation. Let me take the leap here. So I'd love to say at the beginning of worship, thank you. And I didn't say it today. And I had this line. I should have said it. Oh, I'll say it in a later service. I always say thank you for bringing the church into this room. And I say that because I want to remind you that the church is not an event. It's not a building. It's not a preacher. The church is you. You coming into this room is the church. And I think it's helpful because you want the right definition, but we also don't want to over-spiritualize this definition. There is a visible expression of this. So people will say, you know, I don't have to be a part of a church to be a Christian. And I think that's naive. I'm not trying to be insulting. I just think I think that's a very limited view. Of course you're a Christian if you're not a part of a visible congregation. Of course, we all get that. But the church has visible expression. The spiritual reality has visible expression in the, dare I use a millennial curse word, this institution of the local congregation. We formally join a church as an outward expression of an inward spiritual reality because Jesus has made us a part of his people and his body by his death. I think we, in this time, in this place, display that truth by church membership. I think it's important to join a body. I think it's important to discern if you should join a body. It doesn't have to be this church. I'm happy for you to be a part of a Christ-adoring, biblically-centered church anywhere that it is that God has called you to. But I think you should do it. I think to be a Christian and to not join a church is like, it's like being married and not wearing a wedding ring. I lost it again. Again. I lose it so much. It's ridiculous. That's a bad example. Better example. Let me give you an example. My graduation. So a couple years ago, I got my doctorate, and I flew up to Charlotte. It's rainy Wednesday morning in March. I sat with a committee of people. They hammered me with questions. I answered their questions. They approved it, and right then and there, it was done. That was it. I was finished. The reality of it was true for me at that point. Came home, you know. 3 months later, I drove all my screaming kids, you know, 18 hours around trip. We spent a lot of money, hotels, meals, celebrations, all these sort of things to go to this graduation in Charlotte, which the truth is, it was all of 5 seconds of crossing the stage to get that diploma. Why did I do it? Because there was something inside of me that needed an outward sign. I needed a visible representation of what would happen, of what had happened. And I would say the same is true for your membership in the body of Christ. To not join a church, to not participate in the life of the body, is to miss out on the joy of a spiritual reality that God has blessed you with. To not join or participate, I think, is to be disobedient to the Lord. I think it is to deny the body a fingernail. And sometimes you need to pick your nose. Sometimes it's a pick and not an itch. We need each other. spiritual reality of God joining us to himself is expressed in this convention of the local congregation. Fifth, finally, we are purposed for the mutual upbuilding in and the proclamation of the gospel. I think the reason God has us doing this is because he knew we needed one another. You cannot do it by yourself. You cannot hang on. You cannot suffer. You cannot grow. You cannot learn unless you have other people. This is why God has provided it, to burden carry with one another. And that is not to say that I think the church is some idealized wish dream. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer talks about what happens when people enter a congregation with a certain wish dream or a certain ideal. And he says, the quicker that gets crushed, the better. And it will get crushed because the reality is, as beautiful as what Christ has done for us, we are still redeemed sinners. And redeemed sinners hurt one another. They betray one another. They forget about one another. They don't pray for one another. They don't listen to one another. They don't care for one another. Don't come into this thing with an idealized version of who everybody else should be. Man, we sinners. And we're just trying to get along in the grace of God. And we fail each other sometimes. And you know what the good news of that is? The beauty of that is, therefore, we learn not to proclaim ourselves, but Christ crucified. You know, if there was something inside of us as a part of our being and life together, we might be tempted to say, you know, it is the church which is the thing. But our sin quickly reminds us it is not the church we proclaim. It's Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to pursue life together. I think, to be honest with you, it's been one of the greatest joys and utter distinctives of my life to walk and be a part of a body of believers. If I wasn't a part of a body of believers, I never would have gotten to weep at the funeral of Ann Young. I mean, it's like, she's 70, I was 30. It doesn't make any sense why we had a bonding. Our personalities were really different. I'm talking to Philip and Lydia, her husband and daughter. Like, it didn't make any sense except in Christ. And there was a deep bond between us. You know, I think about if I wasn't a part of the body of Christ, I wouldn't have gotten to stand here in front of Aubrey and Yolanda Cathcart and Miriam. What a great day that was. That was so much fun. If I wasn't a part of the body of Christ, I wouldn't have the joy of getting to welcome back so many of you and to just, like, it was good to miss you, you know? It was, that's a sweet thing, actually. If I wasn't a part of the body of Christ, I wouldn't get to watch Larkin Pipes, little pipsqueak middle schooler, grow into this beautiful young woman sitting in my office, engaged to be married, ready to start her life. Wow, what a joy. I wouldn't have gotten to eat all the lunches and sit on your boats and read the Bible together and just share our lives together. I wouldn't have had a community of hope to sit in front of and be reassured by when the world was cracking apart during the pandemic. I remember one Sunday, I'm sitting in the front and, you know, there's just a few of us gathered in the room and we sing In Christ Alone. And there's this great stanza, and bear with me. And it says, there in the ground his body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain. I'm not going to do that, sorry. And he says, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. And I have that song on my phone, and the Gettys sing it, and it's really great when they sing it. But there's nothing like sitting on the front row and hearing all of you behind me sing that song. Because when it comes to that part where it says, then bursting forth, you know what you do? You burst forth. And you don't burst forth like people, like a concert crowd does when, you know, the octave elevates and the singer gets louder. You burst forth with joy and fervor because you know the truth of what you sing. And I wouldn't know that truth or be reassured by that truth or experience that truth without the people of God. The body of Christ. Let's pray. Oh God, we do come before you and we do, oh, we thank you for this precious thing called your church. God, we thank you that you haven't left us as lone rangers. Lord, that you've given us people, sinners that they are, people, Lord. And Lord, you've bound us to one another by something far deeper than we can find anywhere else. God, that we've been bound together in you by the Spirit. It's an unexplainable connection. We thank you for the great gift that it is. Lord God, I pray that you would teach us how to live into that reality. Lord, that you would teach us the way to practice our particular contributions and gifts to the body of Christ. Lord, I pray that we, your visible expression of the greater body at Covenant, Lord, I pray that we would be a people that would, on the whole, glorify your name. Lord, as we come before you and we make these prayers, one of our gifts is that we come in prayer together. We come to pray in the midst of God's people, our concerns. Lord, do thank you that you did see my brother through and there's a way to go. Lord, I know you're faithful and I bless you for that. And I thank you for the prayers of your people. Lord, we do come before you and we lift up our requests to you aloud because we are your people.